So Bob was supposed to introduce us, and he wasn't supposed to take all that time. I was told I had 40 minutes. I have less than 30. So I'm not going to introduce us. You guys can come see us later. But we do run Harvest Family Life Ministries, and you'll hear a little bit more about that. He really cut into my wife's time. So that's real trouble. He didn't realize what he was doing. I can be forgiving. She may make him pay. And I'll call her up a little bit later. I was on staff here up until June of 2012 when God called us out to do what we're doing now. And, you know, it's interesting. We've had a theme this year, my wife and I have, about God bringing us home. And I've been, how many people have been to graduations recently? And I'll be the first to say I really don't like this time of year. But I just don't like crowds and all that kind of stuff. But what has happened, I've been to three graduations in the last couple weeks. And it's been kids who were in the youth group when I was a youth pastor here. Some of them graduating from college. It's been children of our classmates. And Vanessa up here, who was on the piano, used to be up here with me every Wednesday for chapel, for the school. What the graduations and what that is saying to me is God is about family. Psalm 68 says that he is the father to the fatherless, and he sets the lonely in families. This is the family that he set this lonely soul in for a long time. And so many of you here have been family to us for a long time now. And so it's good to be home. And I wanted to share that and say thank you to those of you who have just extended your love to us in so many ways. But it also goes right in tune with what I need to share with you this morning. And I want to start by, first of all, talking about the least of these. There's an insert in your bulletin that somebody put in there that is preaching part of my sermon, which is good because, again, Bob took my time. So read that insert. I want to be real clear, and I'm only half joking about that. I want to be real clear that when we talk about the least of these, very often as Christians, we get a little prideful. And I want to dispose of that to start today. When Jesus talked about the least of these, the hungry, the thirsty, the foreigner or the stranger, and we're not going to get into the politics of that today, but know that it's biblical. those who need clothes, the ones who are sick and in prison, when God talks about the least of these throughout the Old Testament and he shows his deep love and concern for the fatherless, the widow, and the foreigner, it's because he's the God of the family. And so, I want to make sure that we understand the least of these does not mean less than. And we take that a step further when we look at communion, because when we walk into a place that God has called us to be the hands of Jesus to the least of these, we need to understand that we go in not as rescuers, but as the rescued. I am no better than anyone that God calls me to serve. We are all sinners. We have all been rescued. And if we go in with the mindset of I want to do this because I want to be the hero, who gets the glory? Okay, so let's dispose of it right away. When we talk about the least of these, that's me. And I'll speak for you. That's all of us. We are the least of these. When Jesus is separating those, the right and the left in Matthew 25, when he talks about the least of these, he separates those who have been rescued by him, and they're the righteous. So if you want to argue with me about that, you can go talk to God about whether you want to be righteous or not. Enough said. Okay, let's get into this. And again, I'm going to try to jump around a little bit because I just got to be ready here to get 35 minutes into 25. So May was National Foster Care Month. Harvest Family Life Ministries is a ministry that exists to engage, empower, and equip the local church to build a culture of families who are prepared to answer God's call to care for the orphan, the fatherless. In this case, in the case of what we do, we're talking about the domestic orphan. I want to give you some numbers. May was National Foster Care Month. Domestic orphan, that's how we take care of the orphan, the fatherless, in the United States, is through the foster care system. Around the world, there are 140 million orphans. 140 million. Now, this number does not include those children who have parents, but those parents are not able or not willing to care for them. So children who are abandoned, who are left on the side. If you've read anything, you've heard anything about the orphan crisis after the earthquake in Haiti, a lot of the children in orphanages there, their parents are alive. They just can't afford to take care of them. So they drop them off. So the numbers don't include them. The national numbers also do not include any children who have been abandoned or those who have run away. There are people who estimate you could add 10, 20, 40, 50 million more orphans to that number if those children were included. So we could be somewhere in the 200 million range across the world, children who are fatherless. In the United States, again, we take care of them in our foster care system. There are nearly 440,000 children across the United States in the foster care system. 2,500 of them are here in our state. 2,500 kids. Out of those 2,500 kids, somewhere in the 400 to 500 range of those children in Hawaii, parental rights have already been terminated, and they are waiting to be adopted. 400 to 500 local kids who need a forever family. No auntie has stepped up, no grandma has stepped up, no uncle has stepped up, no older sibling. Nobody has stepped up and said, bring those children to me, which again, in our culture, and I've been here a long time, normally auntie goes, okay, bring the kids here. Uncle, go talk to the mom and the dad, because you know what? They're not acting right. And she brings them in, right? We hanai them. 400. Nobody's doing that. The average age of the kids in the foster care system across the United States is 8 years old. There's a whole lot of young children, teenagers too, but a whole lot of young children who have no father to care for them, no mother to care for them, no auntie, no grandma, nobody who's stepping up. Average stay of a child in foster care now is about 18 months. It's getting closer to 2 years as we speak when a child is removed from their home. Now, good news is that one out of every two children, so 50% of those kids, are reunified with their parents. That's also bad news, though, because what does that mean? One out of every two of those kids does not go home to mom and dad. They might go to family. They might go to an auntie, a grandma, somebody like that. But 50% of our kids, of those 440,000 in the foster care system, will not go home to mom and dad, ever. If you thought the orphan crisis was international only, welcome home. Welcome home to Hawaii. Every state has the same issues. The county of Los Angeles, the county, has more kids in foster care than any state. Nearly 70,000 children in LA County in foster care. I just give some numbers because we need to understand what's going on in our world. And if God has called us, when he says he's the father to the fatherless, he doesn't mean I'm just going to miraculously take care of all these kids all by myself. He allows us, right? He chooses us. He calls us. But he says, you go be the daddy. You go be the mommy. Let my perfect parenthood show itself through you. There's only one perfect parent, and this is a great way to be able to show the world who that perfect parent is and what real love is about. So, numbers. Now let's see what God's word says. Don't take my word for it. It's never good enough for a preacher to tell you what God's word says or to tell you what God's heart is. I threw some words out there to you. They are scripture, and I will bring some more scripture and test me on it. Because again, I'm no better than anybody here. God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And as you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. The children of Israel were, this is right after they had yet again sinned and rebelled against God. They had been at, Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai. They had made the golden calf. God wasn't enough. They went looking for something else. They got impatient yet again. And I know I'm telling all of our stories. And God had was walking them through his plan to bring them back to being right with him again so that he then could take them into the promised land like he had promised to them that he would, even in spite of all of our and their sin. So what does Moses tell them here? Verses 12 and 13. He says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today." Why? For your own good. The law is there for our own good, to walk in his ways. These are the things that God called the children of Israel. These are the things that God calls us to today. This is not one of those replacement theology places. Look at those five things that Moses beautifully piles one on top of another here. What does God require of you? Fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love him, serve him, and observe his commands. Sounds like what we've been taught in Sunday school. If we could memorize those five things and dedicate ourselves to asking the Lord every morning to help us do those five things, I think we'd be in pretty good shape in terms of our ability to serve him and give him everything that he asks for, to surrender so that he can use us, not for our glory, but for his. So then Moses goes on and he reminds them of who God is and who they are. And this is so important. It is so important for us to be reminded of that. One of the reasons I love the song that Lauren Daigle is real popular right now called You Say. The chorus, "You say I am loved." That's what God says about us when I can't feel anything. And I think we've all been there. "You say I am strong when I think I'm weak." What does God say? "My strength is made perfect in your weakness," right? "You say I am held when I'm falling short." So even when we have not met the bar, the high standard that God has set for us, he holds us in his hands because we're his children. And when I don't belong anywhere, when I feel alone, isolated, everything is falling apart, I have nobody who loves me, God says I'm his. And the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe what God's word says? It's so important, and I'll say it again, that we are reminded of who God is and who we are, especially in those times when we feel like our world is falling apart. Because we can find truth here. And it can pull us out of our pity parties and whatever else we may do. And Moses goes on. In reminding them, he says, this is who God is. Verse 14, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet," and that's an important word if you're an underliner, note taker, highlighter, "yet" is an important one. "The Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer." Stop being stubborn. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." And in remembering who God is, Moses reminds them, the children of Israel, the chosen ones, that the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it has chosen them and set his affection upon them. The reason that word "yet" is so important is because he says, this is the God, the creator of everything. He talks about how mighty he is, and then he says, but even though you don't deserve it, even though he's so much greater than you, even though he's holy in a way you could never imagine, he chose you. He chose me, the least of these. He chose us and set his affection on us, our mighty God. Then Moses says this, verse 18. And if you take nothing else home today, pay attention to what we have here. Listen carefully. Do not miss this, because this verse is the heart of God. God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Do you hear the heart of God? That God intends no one to be alone? That God intends no one to be without a family? That God intends no one to be uncared for? Do you hear that? Do you understand the depth of God's love? That person next to you on the bus, on the street, who looks lonely, who looks like he's been isolated his whole life, God intends for that person to know his love through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit in you and me. That is the heart of God. And if we miss that, we might as well stop reading. No amount of knowledge or education can help us if we miss the heart of God. God is especially concerned about the most vulnerable in our society. In the Old Testament, it was the fatherless and the widow and the foreigner. He loved them dearly. Throughout the whole book of Deuteronomy, and you look in chapter 18 especially, when God is beginning to form his community, what a community of believers needs to look like. Over and over and over, he gives provision. This is how you are to take care of the fatherless and the widow and the foreigner. It's not a mistake. It's not one scripture. It's throughout. Jesus said it. James said it. Pure and undefiled religion before God our Father is this: to take care of the widows and the orphans in their time of need or in their distress. And the key is in, not from afar throwing money at them, and not that we should not be sending money to the missions agencies that are caring for orphans, but it says in their distress, step in to the mess, to the trouble, to the difficulty, to the distress. Because Jesus walks with us. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, don't be selfish with it. Take it into the mess. Didn't God do that for us? I was the least of these. God pulled me out of mud, dirt that I had created for myself. I was in church since I was in the womb. I still wanted to run to the mud. God pulled me out of that. I'm the least of these. I was hungry for his love. I was thirsty for living water. And he reached down in his great compassion and pulled me up. Get in. Practice what we preach. Walk what we talk. Reach out to the most vulnerable. You know, King Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, he said, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." That's not somebody else's pithy phrase. There's nothing new under the sun. It's straight from God's word. And guess what? Little has changed. The most vulnerable in our society today are still the fatherless, the widows, and the foreigners, the least of these. Jesus added a few to the list. The hungry and the thirsty and the sick and the imprisoned, the ones who are isolated, the most vulnerable in our society. I was once the most vulnerable. You were once the most vulnerable. And the Father, the fatherless, reached down and pulled us out of that place. Verse 19, Moses gives the why. Why should we care? Why should we care about the most vulnerable in our midst? And he says, after God defends the cause of the fatherless, he takes care of the widows and the orphans, he says, and you are to love those who are foreigners or aliens. For you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. If you remember, he reminded them of Exodus chapter 1 all the way up through about verse 14, 15. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they were just a small remnant, a small number at first, but they were foreigners. And at first, no threat whatsoever to the Egyptians. Again, a small remnant of them, no problem. And then all of a sudden we read in verse 8 that a new king who didn't know Joseph, who had saved the whole country because of God, a new king came in. And it says that the Israelites began to be fruitful and multiply greatly until the point that it said they were exceedingly multiplying in great numbers. And the king looked and he started to get scared. You know, if we go to war, they're going to join up with the other guys. So they were worried that they were going to lose their slaves, but even more so, they were worried they were so numerous that they would take over the country. And so what does it say? It says that he began to give orders to treat them harshly. They put slave masters over them who increased their workload daily. It says that they were greatly oppressed. The Bible uses words like harsh and oppression and that they were tools, basically, of the evil slave masters. And Moses says in verse 19, don't you remember? Don't you remember when you were the most vulnerable in society? And God asks us the same thing today. Don't you remember when you and I were in that mud? When our pain was great? When our depth of separation from God was more than we could bear? Don't you remember? And God, in his great compassion and love, reached down and didn't say clean up first. He just reached down. And he said, here, let me pick you up and dust you off and introduce you to my son and redeem you and give those who believe the right to be called children of God. Don't you remember? And so I want to summarize what Moses is saying. Give me a little liberty here in Brad's definition of verse 19. How about that? I don't have my own translation, haven't written it, never will, but we're going to talk about it a little bit today. That Moses is saying this, what I hear Moses saying, children of Israel, children of God, in response to God's great love for you, you in turn show love. In response to God's care for you, you in turn show care. In response to God's compassion for you and greater compassion than we could ever understand, you in turn find the most vulnerable and show compassion to them. And in response to God's kindness toward you, show kindness. In response to his generosity, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and everything you have, he gave to you and me. Show generosity. And if we were to expand it even more, don't you think God is saying to us today, in response to my love toward you, you and me, who once were lost, but now we're found, who once were blind, but now we see, who once were a beggar, but now we're co-heirs to the riches of heaven. You and me, in response towards God's love to us, who were afar off, a foreigner, in a strange land, but now we've been made citizens of heaven by the blood of Jesus. a member of the household of God. In response to that, what did Jesus say to his disciple? Take care of my sheep. What did Moses say to the children of Israel? He's the father. He defends the fatherless. He takes care of the widows. James encourages us as New Testament Christians to step into the distress, to walk into the lives knowing, don't get me wrong, knowing that we may get hurt, knowing that kids may take advantage, knowing that kids who have been traumatized through no fault of their own need a mother and father who will love them back to health through pain and suffering and them rejecting us, not the other way around, because every adult in their life, whoever was supposed to give them trust and love, has rejected them. Don't you hear God's heart? I can't walk into your home and tell you what you need to do with this, but I can tell you that God's word is very clear. The 440,000 kids in foster care are the church's responsibility, not the government. People want to complain all the time about how the government doesn't do a good job with this and that, and you may be right, but there's only a child welfare system because the church has dropped the ball. It's our responsibility. That's a whole nother message. And I know I'm getting on my soapbox here. It is our job. God created the family. He gave us one, and he wants his children in one. And only his word tells us what a true family is. That means that we as children of God who believe that this is the word of God, inspired and written by him, inerrant in everything it says, gives us guidance and direction, and we need to follow it. No matter what the sacrifice. I have yet to meet the foster parent or adoptive parent who will tell you it's been easy, but I've also yet to meet the one who says, yeah, and God asked me to go to the cross. Take it up, yes. Take up the cross of caring for the fatherless, the widow, the foreigner. Take up the cross. We want to give you some tangible ways this morning